99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome into the Red Zone. Happy Thursday, Birds. Mikey Fernelli, Benjamin Hootie, and Braden Fogerson live from the WZND studio on opening day for baseball season. We keep running into big major sporting events. So if you've been a listener for 2 weeks, we appreciate you because you had to pick us over March Madness last week and you had to pick us today over opening day baseball action. Don't worry, we're going to talk about both of those things. We also got some great Redbird stuff for the first half hour. Let's start with this Redbird women's team, gentlemen. Me and Braden called a game for them last Sunday. It was the WNIT tournament. And Braden, before we get into some audio from Deanna Wilson and Coach Gillespie, they won that one. They'll play again tonight at Wisconsin. We're not calling that game, but they will be at Wisconsin, so we will have updates on that starting at 7 o'clock. But it was interesting. You know, it's not March Madness, and it's the third-tier tournament for women's basketball, but it's still impressive to see them chugging along through postseason play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this team, we talked about it last week, they pushed their season on with a trip to the NIT. You know, there's a lot of players on this team that stuck around one more year through what could have been hitting the transfer portal, through what could have been, you know, graduating for some of these players to stick around for one more year. They weren't rewarded with another trip to the NCAA tournament, but they were rewarded with another tournament, some more postseason play, some more opportunities to play with your team, and even, you know, this past week to play at home one more time. It's definitely a nice opportunity for them. And so it's just a really big deal, and they certainly, you know, have a big opponent tonight, which Gillespie has won for her last one with against that team.
In November 2022, I called that game with John Rosny. Paige Robinson at 7 threes as the Birds beat the Badgers, and that was the only time the Birds beat the Badgers that year in anything because it was 38-0 when we played them in football a month before. Before we get into some women's basketball quotes, I want to talk about this WNIT tournament. So this is the Super 16, as they call it, the Sweet 16 of shorts, so the 16 teams left mark. And the Badgers had to beat Southern Indiana at Southern Indiana to get to this point. And Southern Indiana was in the WNIT as probably the best team in the bracket because they actually won the Ohio Valley. They just couldn't go to March Madness because their eligibility, having moved from D2 to D1, is still not available. So they have they're in the middle of that like 5-year period. So Wisconsin beat a really good team. Wisconsin 14-16 on the year, so not over 500 quite yet. But Southern Indiana was the winners of the Ohio Valley in this tournament. So it's not a completely, you know, baseless tournament of loser teams.
Can I just complain about that rule? Because if you're a team that's willing to move up to a higher and more difficult league, you shouldn't be also told you can't compete for a championship if you make it.
Right.
And then also, a player that transfers is now told that they don't have to wait a year, so they're fine with just transferring whenever they want. It's just completely backwards.
And how do you keep loyalty on a program like that can win the Ohio Valley and not even go to the tournament?
Exactly. I mean, Louisville, for example, kind of completely lost what they had built because they were told for however many years, and I mean, they deserve the punishment from, you know, what I recall, but their program is in the dumps now because they lost the ability to recruit for several years because a team that was supposed to be always in the March Madness tournament, you know, turned into a team that no one was going to want to play for because they couldn't get to the tournament for the next couple of years. And when you have a team that's, you know, not only in the same situation, but also not at the same level as a Louisville, you know, you're really, really in trouble, and I think that's silly.
Historically slow Ben Hootie start.
I know, right?
You're waiting for the baseball. Bro's locked into baseball. I will say I agree with that. I'm more in the baseball state of mind. You were at that game on Sunday against Charleston. It is interesting to have a team play in a home postseason game like after when they thought they were done. Like you and I called it in Moline, and I said at the end of that call, I was like, oh, you know, if this is it for Deanna Wilson, as she gets a hug from coach, like what a career it was. And now she's had at least two extra games, one of which was at home.
Right.
It's kind of like weird. I don't know how she truly feels about it behind closed doors. I'm sure she feels, you know, good to feel another game at home, but it's like you said your goodbyes and now you're playing again at home. I wonder if they'll play again at home if they win. The whole thing's interesting.
I feel like,
even though it's not the glitz and glamour of the March Madness tournament, I think you put it perfectly right there. It's just cool to continue to play basketball and ride it out. And I'm sure that coach has them all bought in as well because of the fact that when we talked to her and the post-game presser, she was very adamant that this team still had more basketball to be played. So I bet all the girls are bought in and probably locked in for tonight to hopefully get a win.
And another important thing about that presser, she also talked about it not just being about herself. You know, I asked her, you know, you stayed an extra year. You had an opportunity to leave, and now this is your opportunity you presented to yourself. What does it mean to you? And, you know, she kind of brought it back to her team, how much it meant to her to be able to play with her team and how much it meant to the whole program.
It's amazing, but it's kind of deeper than me, you know, like even like for doing this for this school, like, you know, it's been a long time since ISU won in the postseason, and to do it back to back, what, 4 years now? It's deeper than me. It's just an amazing thing to do for this institution.
Yeah, so Wilson, obviously, just a completely selfless player when it comes to that. I mean, she talked all about that in the press conference. Gillespie even mentioned at one point, she kind of like looked over at Dee and was like, heck of a legacy or whatever, and Wilson yeah. just kind of was just like, thanks, and like shrugged. Like she's literally all business as always. She's just there to win. I even told Brayden as we were leaving the perch after calling the game to go down to the press conference, I was like, I feel like Wilson wasn't like, I'm ready to self-admit this, I was like, I feel like Deanna was not like as excited about it. Like she didn't seem excited. And Brayden's like, you got to watch your face more. That's how she is every single game. And I'm like, you're probably right. And then I go and we go to the presser, and I could tell she's all jazzed up, but she just shows no emotion. She's just stone faced, ready to go out there and win any given game. And I mean, okay, to bottom line it, it's cool to be in postseason basketball. And we also asked Coach Gillespie about that.
Coach, I'm sure I don't have to tell you that this is like the biggest weekend in the world for college basketball, yeah. for women's basketball. How does it feel to bring that to this local community and have this awesome game today?
It means everything. You know, we all are stakeholders in our game, and I'm just so proud that we as a program, you know, get to play that small part, because the world, I think, has taken notice to women's basketball. It is as big as it's ever been. And there's, as you saw, like, there's such great basketball being played at every level. And, you know, it's fun. This is a town that's hungry for success and hungry for March basketball. And I'm, you know, I know both programs are going to, you know, I know Coach Peden's going to get it going. But, hey, we'll carry that torch right now until we're both doing it.
So the Redbird women's team will play Wisconsin tonight at 7. Ben, just bless us that we might see some more home games throughout. We can't really go into too much detail. We've heard some whispers that we might see the Redbirds at home again if they keep winning. So they just got to keep chugging along. They'll play the winner of Purdue, Fort Wayne, and St. Louis in the final 8 teams. I don't know what they call
it. It's the Super 8?
Yeah. Oh, come on. No, not Super 8.
They changed them all because the men's tournament has their own names. The women's tournaments have a different set of names.
Right.
So the Super 8 would be kind of funny considering the motel.
The Super 8 motel. Super 8 brought to you by Super. Weren't we talking about this live on the show last week, how the rounds need to have like advertisements? Or I think I was just talking to Steve about that. Like, I think it'd be awesome if.
Why do you want the rounds? Advertisements?
I don't know. I feel like that's one of the few things I would love to see get advertised. Like the Final Four. What is it?
It's the Great Eight.
The Great Eight.
And the Fab Four.
That's sick.
Oh, the Fab Four. I like the Fab Four.
I would love to have WZND call a Fab Four game at Illinois State University. That'd be pretty awesome. Yeah. But speaking of all this great stuff in Redbird Athletics, the baseball team had an interesting start to the season. They had a nice win. Finally on Sunday, but Brayden, you and I called the game last Friday, so a week ago tomorrow, and that was a thriller against Bradley. And it was, what did it end up being, 9-8,
yeah.
I want to say?
Yeah.
And Brayden, I know you worked that game as well. Yeah. They got not walked off because they were at home, but Bradley hit the go-ahead home run in the 9th after the Birds left the bases loaded, bottom 8. That was a thriller of a game. And the Redbirds showing again this season, as has been the issue, and as we talked about, they really, the problem isn't hitting. Right? I mean, they're letting up a ton of runs per game. Right?
Yeah. I mean, every single game is going to be just a shootout, and it is so hard on a pitching staff when that's the case. But, I mean, ultimately, it's the pitching that needs work. So it's not like they're sitting there being like, well, we're doing all we can, and we keep having to do a lot of work. You know, your rotation is not great, and then that leads to having to throw more innings out of your pen. And you don't have very many good options. I think we saw a little bit out of the lefties. I think that I can't remember who they threw out there, but they threw a lefty out there. Looked, you know, he gave up some runs in the Saturday game here on WZND, but he still did look. He showed some flashes, and so, you know, like to see a little bit more of that because it was all righties the first two games other than him
against Northern Illinois. a week ago, it was 16-12 Illinois State. Then the first game against Bradley, which Braden and I were talking about, that's a 9-8 loss. Then a 12-6 loss on Saturday, the Curve. And then on Sunday, 12-3, ISU finally routed Bradley for what I think it ended up being a Mercy Rule win.
12-3.
Was it? Oh, so it wasn't a Mercy Rule win. It was just in regular time, but it was, so it was a 9-run win. But it was a good start. And then they were supposed to play Iowa on Tuesday. That was canceled due to inclement weather. They did not want the Hawkeyes to travel all the way over to get turned away. So they'll play this weekend at Missouri State. Real quick, before we run out of time in this segment, before we get to Braden's big interview, the softball team swept a doubleheader yesterday, as you heard about in the last newscast. That was big. That time, they got the best of Bradley. Got the walk-off, Addison Hopkins, in the first game, and the second game just really kept the foot on the gas the whole time.
It was it's kind of eerily similar to what happened last year. They played a lot of tough opponents, and I know we're running actuality right now from Coach Cramo saying, you know, this team, the record does not show what we actually are. And, yeah, it's just very similar to last year that they play a lot of tough opponents at the beginning of the year, and now that I'm pretty sure they're tied at the top of the conference right now.
5-3.
So it seems like they have a really good team that's battle-tested for conference play, and it could take them maybe pretty deep in the Missouri Valley Conference.
We talked about it, you know, earlier on Red Zone, both just between us and also with our interview with, you know, with some players and, you know, the previous year. Non-con was a really rough part of their schedule, and then they turned it around and had a winning record against MVC opponents. Mm-hmm. It's starting off pretty much the same way. They just had a really, really brutal start to the season, but now that they're facing some more opponents from the same league, looking a lot better.
All right, when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit from Angelica Labatt and Jay Mack of the ISU gymnastics team. Me and Ben are going to hit it back to the newsroom. We're going to get Braden Fogerson and Kaylee Sugimoto in here for that interview.
Back here on 103.3 WZND, the Pulse of Redbird Nation. It's another segment of Red Zone, but this time we've got some special guests here in the booth as well, starting with Jay Mack, who's in her third straight NCAA regional. She made the NCAA championship as a freshman in 2022 and the three-time defending Midwest Independent Conference champion. She'll be competing in vault and floor this year, as we figured out on Monday during the selection show, as well as Angelica Labatt, who didn't make it at first but made it as an alternate and certainly earned as well the MIC Co-Gymnast of the Year, earned a share in all four seasons at ISU of that award, as well as her third appearance at the NCAA regional of her career as well. So for both of you, I gave you quite an intro, I guess, but how are you guys doing here on this Thursday night?
Doing great. Excited to be here and talk about, you know, everything that's been going on.
Yes, grateful for this opportunity.
For sure. And, you know, alongside me, as we talked about before going to break, Mikey and Ben not here, as we have a much more fit to talk about gymnastics co-host and Kaylee Sugimoto. Kaylee and I both covered gymnastics on ESPN this year for three out of the four meets together throughout this season. And so it's been a very strong season for these Redbirds at home and away, but now they're all focused on Michigan, which is where these two gymnasts will be competing. And Kaylee, just been a very, very strong season yet again for a Redbird program that has built itself from, you know, the very first time that you and I sat down and you talked to me about, you know, what am I looking at? Was that a good flip? Things like that up to now where, you know, we're starting to realize just how good this Redbird program is.
I mean, yeah, totally, Braden. I've said this definitely before, but if I was looking to be on the Illinois State Gymnastics team now, I would not be recruited. Like, I was lucky that I was recruited at the time that I was, because the skills that I had would not fly now. But yeah, this Redbird team, from when I've been a gymnast to now, has just improved so much, and they've really just kind of put themselves on the same scale and with a lot of the other big gymnastics teams that we are looking at right now in the NCAA.
For sure. And so to bring it back to you two, has it been a busy week for you in terms of practice? I know that even for the, you know, your teammates that aren't actually going to be competing as well this week, they still, you know, there really isn't much of an off season for gymnastics. They're all working. But for you two, you know, how's the regimen been? What have you guys been doing to prep yourself?
I would say it's honestly been kind of chill and relaxed. we usually don't take up as much time as we did when we have the whole team. It's usually about an hour. And I guess it's been nice because we can really have that one-on-one, you know, conversations with the coaches and get those extra corrections that we might not have been able to get with the whole team there. So chill, relax. I mean, we're still doing weights and still going to classes and everything. So, yeah.
And on top of that, some of our teammates still come to watch us and encourage us and cheer us on, even though they don't have to practice.
Yeah, that's, like, one of the best parts is, like, having them there to support and just, like, even though they're not doing gymnastics, it means a lot to have someone there watching.
So I know that the off season is kind of a weird time to be practicing when you two are the only ones still going and then everyone else is kind of throwing like new skills into the pit and you guys have to stay on the hard floor and stay on track. Mm-hmm. How are you guys staying focused when it's also at the same time kind of like a party time of the year because you have no other meet to qualify for? So how are you guys staying focused with all of that going on?
I would say just kind of like remembering the goal that I had set in the beginning. It's easy to, you know, kind of want to like play around. And sometimes because there's a little bit more time, you can be a little bit more relaxed and you don't have to do as many numbers and as quickly. So I don't know, just remembering the goal that I had in the beginning of the season was, you know, to get to this point, keeping my mind focused on that kind of helps me get through it, I guess.
And keeping in mind that we only have one or maybe two more, so that'll be us soon.
Mm-hmm, yeah. yeah, good mindset.
Now, Jay, you'll be competing in two, but for you, Angelica, just one event, and it's, you know, for people that haven't watched gymnastics, Angelica going to be competing on vault. It is 5 seconds and you're done. What, you know, does that feel a little bit different knowing that, you know, with all the pomp and circumstance of everything, it's just going to be like that and you're done immediately?
It definitely does feel a little bit different because going in previous meets, I know if I mess up on one meet, I can recover on other events. But this one, hopefully I just go in and hit it as best as I can.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we've also had a lot of like practice with that. That's like gymnastics. You know, it's not like basketball where you're playing the entire game. Like, this is a sport where you train hours and hours and hours for literally 30 seconds to perform. So we've kind of, like, worked our whole lives for this moment. So, yeah.
Another question for you, Jay. Talked about it, you being, you know, again, the conference champion on floor. There's just, I mean, really for any event, but especially for floor, there's just so much talent there to compete with. How do you always find yourself in the sixth spot as kind of, you know, as Kaylee says, just kind of the, you know, the ace of a gymnastic squad in that event?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it has to do, I guess, a lot with like the skills that I do, like why I anchor, probably because I do the full in, but I don't know. I try not to think so much about, you know, the spot. Any spot in a lineup can bring pressure. You know, any person can fall, mess up, or any person can bring the team back up. So I don't know. It's an honor, I guess, to be in that spot. It's cool, but it can be a lot of pressure sometimes.
Jill, I do have a question for you because I know that you are going to regionals for vault, and this is your fifth year, and you're still competing your Chinko 1.5. So I just want to know how your body's holding up and also what you're doing to kind of keep yourself healthy because competing that hard of a vault for 5 years is just almost unheard of and extremely difficult at this age.
I think my body is almost on its last, so good thing, but sad that this is my last year. During the week, I do rehab. I do rehab after practice, and then I do treatment after practice with our trainer. So she definitely keeps me in check.
Tell me about, you know, as I was reporting at the watch party on Monday, there was the most cheers, obviously, when you made it, Jay, but a little bit of cheers when a gymnast that you guys had met from, you know, another team being able to make it as well. So another thing I wanted to ask, just what is it like to, you know, how many people have you met? You know, what sort of friends have you been able to meet from opposing teams, opposing squads, or even just, you know, in general, going to all these different places, traveling around the world? And, you know, this week you'll be traveling to Michigan. So what is that like for you?
I think our sport is really unique in that and kind of the community that we've built around it. And a lot of the girls that I'm competing against now, even in college, are people that I've known my entire, like, gymnastics life. So it's really cool to kind of see us all grow and, you know, form into these amazing gymnasts and amazing people. So it's kind of bittersweet when you see your name on the screen, but you also see, you know, a longtime friend. So, yeah, it's really awesome.
I think I've definitely, gymnastics is just such a unique sport in that way where even though you're all competing against each other, you kind of build that community. And I feel mm-hmm. like that also, that bond becomes stronger when you're in moments of like the last minutes of the meet. And, mm-hmm. you know, everyone's watching the last exhibition yeah. and everyone's just cheering because everyone just kind of wants to move on. Mm-hmm. But exactly. then it's also, it kind of, I remember when I was still in JO, when we would have a really small session of mm-hmm. just about like 10 girls rotating with each other, everyone would just kind of talk to yeah. each other, and those mm-hmm. were always the most fun. So
yeah, I think it's because you have to remember, like, you are competing against other people, but you're really competing against yourself and like the apparatus or that event. So like that kind of makes you have, I don't know, just like a better mindset about everything. Like, that person's not your enemy, they're your friend, and you can always help each other to become better.
Yeah. I mean, for example, you know, the last meet at CEFQ, you know, Michigan State came in as just a complete surprise. And it was mm-hmm. like, well, I mean, they're a top 10 team in the entire country. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're not competing with it, mm-hmm. but, you know, you're still competing against a Lindenwood squad that is in your conference. And, you know, also just getting to learn from, you know, a really great squad. And, mm-hmm. you know, people that watch other sports think, you know, oh, you're playing basketball, you're playing football, you're watching film of the other team, and it's all against the other team. Gymnastics is one where it's all about yourself. So, yeah. as you said, just playing really just more against yourself instead of, you know, against your opponent.
Yeah.
Do you think because it's such a difficult sport that kind of brings everyone kind of closer together and kind of blurs the lines of that? I don't want to say blurs the line of that competition, because still it's one of the most competitive sports out mm-hmm. there at the same time, but it kind of brings like a more humane aspect to it.
Yeah, it definitely does. Like, I think I just kind of think, you know, when I get on the beam, what I do isn't going to affect my teammate, isn't going to affect another person on the team. It's only about me. Like, as I said before, you know, the only thing that can really stop me is if I fall or the beam, not another player. So it kind of, I don't know, takes that kind of like team aspect away, takes away that like enemy sort of thing. Yeah, I kind of like the way that you put that, like a more humane way, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah, I also feel like just growing up in a sport, like mostly everybody in the sport has been doing this since 3, 4, or 5. So I just feel like we all get each other. Like mm-hmm. we all know what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. We all want to have fun while we're doing it. This is just like in previous years when I made it to regionals, Jay and I have to go with another team since our whole team didn't make it. Mm-hmm. And every team I've ever been with has treated me like one of their own for that 2-3 hours of the meet.
Mm-hmm. That's so true, yeah.
And Jay, for you, you'll be with Alabama, I assume. Angelica, you'll also be with Alabama?
I will be with Oklahoma.
Oh, okay, okay. That's the reigning champs for that sport too. Yeah. So a very, very talented two squads to be playing with. But mm-hmm. you know, for those that, you know, maybe, you know, again, for those in the audience that don't follow gymnastics is a team sport, but it's also very much an individual sport. So that's why, you know, each team gets to compete as their own, but also there's one player that isn't from a squad that made it as a team to regionals that will also get to move on to the NCAA championships, you know, one step further in Fort Worth. So that's why, you know, both of these gymnasts here have been able to move on before. And so that's why, even though the Redbirds as a whole aren't making it as a squad this year, there's still a lot to play for, even in the regionals. So that's going to be very interesting to follow as well.
How are you guys feeling about rotating with two schools that are just so big in the gymnastics world?
Honestly, I'm so excited. Like, it's always, you can always appreciate good gymnastics. And also just seeing how a team, kind of how their chemistry is, you know, I always try to, like, look at it, like, what can I take back to my team? Like, I see the way that this team functions. They do it really well and at this level. So, like, how can I bring that back to my team? And also just soaking up the moment. Like, these are people that are, some of them are Olympians. Like, that's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to be on the same floor as them. So just kind of, you know, being in the moment, all of those things.
Yeah, going off of what Jay said, it's always, like, no matter what you are, what you're doing, it's always nice to see and appreciate good gymnastics, mm-hmm. especially from Oklahoma. I'm excited, but I'm a little bit nervous to rotate with them. I'm excited.
I kind of rotated with them last year, and honestly, it was so fun, because sometimes, you know, when you think about the best of the best, they kind of have a reputation, And honestly, like, I was so surprised to find them, like, the nicest, the sweetest people. And so I think you'll love them. It's a great time.
So tell me about the event as well. You know, any big tournament like this for the NCAA, it's a big celebration of the athletes, but it's also nice to be able to get away and, you know, appreciate the amenities of a big school. So for you two that have both been to previous regionals, like, what'll you guys be expecting in terms of, you know, the event, in terms of, you know, practices before and, you know, even just meals, you know, the food that you can get around. Is there anything special about that for you guys?
I think I'm definitely looking forward to the crowd. Sometimes that can, you know, bring on pressure, but sometimes it's really nice to, like, look up in the stands and see so many people there just to watch you. And it just kind of reminds me of when I was younger. Like, I used to be in the stands and watching all those gymnasts, like, praying and hoping one day that would be me. And now that it is, it's nice to kind of appreciate that.
Yeah, while a big crowd also brings in the pressure, it's so fun to know that to be in an environment where so many people are there to watch gymnastics and you be a part of that gymnastics makes you appreciate what's going on, for sure.
I know that you guys have probably done this. I mean, not probably. I know you guys have done this so many times before, but just this is because this meet is going to be on such a larger scale than the regular home meets and regular season meets. How do you keep your mind at one skill at a time? Because I know that's the saying, but it is so easier said than done.
Yeah, it's definitely difficult, but I think each meet kind of brings its own different pressure, if that makes sense. You know, the first meet of the year, it's like, oh, I have this pressure. Like, how am I going to start the season? How's that going to go? And then you make it to the middle meet, and it's like, maybe we're at a big school. How's that going to go? This is a bigger crowd. And then we just came off of a conference. So, you know, that's a whole lot of pressure in itself. So I think each meet kind of has this unique sense of, you know, I have to do this way. So I kind of want to treat regionals no different. It's just kind of another meet. It might have a little bit more pressure, but so do the other ones. I don't know. That's kind of my mindset.
Yeah. With gymnastics and meets, I'm, like, really big on keywords. But for this one, I'm going to try to stay out of my mind. I feel like I've gotten too much in my mind, and just have fun and be in the moment and still use a little bit of my keywords. But just appreciate what I've been doing in this. Appreciate how it might be my last one.
I was about to say, Jill, this is going to be your last meet of your career.
Sad.
How are you feeling about that? And also, just how are you feeling leaving Illinois State, knowing that you have literally made history for this Bedford gymnastics team?
Knowing that this is might be my last one, I'm so grateful to have had another opportunity. Thinking that conference was my last one, I'm so grateful to have another opportunity doing something that I love. I probably would do a sixth year if I could, but I can't do that. But knowing that I left a mark on Illinois State, I think that'll be enough for me.
Yeah. Jay, any last thoughts from you about, you know, I mean, you've still got, you're in your third year, so you still got some time left. But I mean, this program has changed a lot even from when you were here. So any thoughts on how this squad has improved around you? It felt like 3 years ago, you know, there were definitely a solid amount of people, but now it's just everywhere you see is stars for Illinois State. How has the team improved around you two?
It's honestly so hard to put into words, like, how much this team has grown, and not just in the gymnastics in terms of us getting better scores and, you know, maybe possibly having a chance of making to regionals. But I think our team chemistry, the atmosphere in the gym has changed so much. It's, you know, a place that I wake up and I want to go because I want to be with my teammates and I want to practice around them. And I kind of mentioned this earlier, but that's why I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to compete at regionals, because although we didn't get to make it as a team, I feel like I can represent that and, like, represent how much our program has grown and all the work that we've put in this year. Like, I'm honored to, like, have that ability to, you know, be that for this meet. So,
So for Jay and Angelica, last chance for you two. Is there anyone that you want to shout out? Anyone that might be listening, including but not limited to an entire Illinois State gymnastics squad?
Shout out to my mom, my dad, my coaches, and my sisters and my niece.
Yeah. Shout out to all my family, my parents, my brothers, my roommates, if you're listening. And just, the whole team, honestly. I'm proud of everyone and how much we've overcame this.
Shout out to my girls.
Yeah, girls. Love the girls.
Kaylee's got one more burning question, though.
Yeah, I was just going to say, before we end this segment and round this out, I just have to know what skills you guys are thinking of training in the offseason.
Oh,
what skills you're thinking of playing around with.
I really want to play on bars. I want to do a Maloney.
Oh, she's got that easy.
Oh, my gosh. You could do it.
Yeah.
What's a Maloney, Kaylee?
A Maloney?
can you describe that on air? Is there a way to describe that on radio?
I think I would leave that to Jay and John. I don't even know if I could explain that descriptively.
Yeah, how do you
even explain that?
I'm going to start in a cast. I'm going to put my toes on the bar. I'm going to do one toe handstand, and then I'm going to let go, and my feet are going to go this way, and my hands are going to go this way to the high bar.
Yeah, you start on the low bar and end on the high bar.
You go backwards from the low bar to the high bar.
Okay.
You grab the high bar from your hands first.
Oh, okay.
That's honestly so hard to explain. I never thought about it.
Yeah, that didn't make sense.
I got it, though. Yeah. I think I would like to play around with a double layout again on floor. I've trained it a couple times over the summer and a little bit in preseason, but I'm really maybe looking to change things up and maybe do that next year. I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see.
Will we see the toe hand on bars again?
Oh, yeah. I'm actually training Maloney, too. In case. I'm just kidding. I wish I was.
I have one more question, actually, that popped into my head for you, Jay.
Mm-hmm.
Your beam routine mm-hmm. is like no one else I've ever seen, and you've stuck with it. You've worked on it, even mm-hmm. in exhibition throughout the year.
Beam.
Where did that come from?
Honestly, Beam has been an event for me that I grew up hating. Like, it was just not my thing. I was scared of it, deathly afraid of it, actually. I would spend weeks on Beam standing there because I wouldn't go for skills. So it's honestly been such a journey. And this summer, I kind of, like, had a goal in mind. I'm like, I kind of want to get this more consistent, like, maybe see the lineup again. And I did that. So I'm really proud of myself. It's definitely a unique routine. You don't see the front tuck mount often. So I don't know. I think I love Beam now. I'd even say.
That's great.
Megan would love that if she's listening. Yeah.
And so with that, we thank you both so much for coming. It was so great to be able to talk to you. We're very excited to be able to follow you through your regional journey. But for that, we will send it to break, and we'll be right back with some MLB and some NCAA talk before we call it quits for an opening day edition of Red Zone.
Chicago Cubs baseball is on the air. We've officially made it. Ben's got the game on his computer going. He's got it, live in studio. Chicago Cubs baseball is back. The Cardinals already played today, if you saw that. The White Sox already played today, but the Cubs getting started. The Rangers wearing their gold special jerseys, and the Cubs have an opportunity to rain on the parade. We'll get to baseball in the next segment, but first, how was that interview, Brandon? It sounded good.
It was great. And by the way, you know this show is not scripted because I would have muted your mic for that intro.
No, it was good.
It was so great to be able to talk to them. We've watched both of them throughout the year. They are both phenomenal gymnasts and, you know, just leading the way for this Redbird squad, representing in Michigan, and, you know, to be able to reward the talent that they have and the ability that they have in that sport that has been so much fun to watch. I mean, like I said, I began not understanding the sport at all. And over the course of 3 years and covering it from first a beat reporter here for Z&D to covering it on ESPN, I think gymnastics is really, really an awesome sport. And if a lot more people gave it a chance, they'd really enjoy it too.
Well, and I appreciate that. And I also appreciate that we have Kaylee. We've let Kaylee kind of have a lot of time on this show talking about gymnastics, promoting gymnastics, her own career, stuff like what we just did. We had her talk to Lori Hernandez. I got to be part of that too, which was awesome. U.S. Olympian Lori Hernandez, that is. It's been really cool to kind of highlight gymnastics as one of the sports you don't often hear about. So I've liked that we've done that kind of through the Red Zone in recent times, and I hope the listeners agree. All right, speaking of college sports, we're going to keep it right there before we get into some Major League Baseball. Let's talk college basketball. To me, today is baseball. But to the rest of the world and a lot of people, today is still March Madness. A crazy first two rounds last week. But at day's end, we talked about President Biden's bracket last week and how it was all chalk. But I think he might be leading his bracket pool. It's been a lot of high seeds.
Yeah, it really feels like right now, depending on what happens with these games, really the only Cinderella that we have going right now is NC State.
They just felt like a tournament-built team.
Right?
Yeah.
Clemson's currently beating Arizona, so we could be in the middle of making a Cinderella. But, yeah, it's been pretty chalk for the most part. And I wouldn't say it's necessarily been a bad tournament. The first round was awesome with just some of the upsets. I mean, we haven't even talked about them yet. We got through some of them. But, you know, Oakland over Kentucky was awesome. Sorry,
that was
Mike.
Right after we went off air.
Yeah.
I went to watch. And after I literally said on air that I picked Kentucky, I watched as they fell. They lost, but Ben just gave me a nice little loving touch on the hand, so it's a little bit better.
You already lost my bracket pool, so just $20 to me. No, I'm just kidding. But
and I paid you after Kentucky lost, too. Right. That was big.
Yeah, but no, it's been a good tournament thus far, and I think it's honestly where the fact that it is so chalky, it feels very eerily similar to tournaments of the past when we have seen like ones and two seeds in the Final Four, and frankly, those tournaments have been the best because you really do have like the truly top 8, 16, whatever teams it might be in the country going up against each other, which makes just for March Madness and really, really good competition.
Roll credits. Yeah, so what's going on live right now? You were kind of updating us. I haven't really been checking along. I'm putting you on the spot a little bit.
We have Arizona and Clemson going on right now, and Clemson currently holds a 27-14 lead over Arizona, so that could be something to keep your eye on. San Diego State and UConn are just about to start, so that's a rematch of last year's national championship, which I think is pretty cool. And honestly, I want to stay right there because UConn is just rolling through this tournament once again. We saw it last year. They blew out every single opponent. They've won 7 straight March Madness games in just dominant fashion. And we'll see if it happens again tonight and if the reigning champs can just continue their run.
Dan Hurley has been really getting the mic in his face with some interesting quotes about just how they're going to keep blowing through this entire tournament and all the they need to stop letting mid-majors into the tournament and all these things that might put more of a target on their back. But I thought it was really funny that whereas if somebody else said that, the comments would always be like, oh, this is cocky, they're going to lose, blah, 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 blah. When he says stuff like that, you go to the comments on Instagram or Twitter, and it's like, I'm so scared. No, but I actually am. Like, it's like people who are like actually like, holy cow, this team is insane. I mean, is there anyone who's going to stop UConn from going back-to-back?
I think it's not going to be UNC, if you ask me. They might beat Alabama, but I think they're the weakest of the one seeds this year pretty handily, and I think that I don't see them going much further. I don't know. I think it's a little bit harder now with how much teams change to, like, get a feel of what a team looks like year after year. I don't know. I should have paid more attention to their conference anyway. I pay more attention to Big Ten and MVC than anything else. But they're obviously a very strong team. They're a blue blood program. It's always nice to get to see some new teams play. But, I mean, UConn, it was the safe pick for a lot of brackets, but it's the safe pick for a reason. They got a lot of talent there.
Well, I just remember growing up that like you couldn't pick against UConn in the women's tournament specifically, but it wasn't always smooth sailing for the UConn men's team, but just recently they've just been absolutely unstoppable. What was the last time a team went back-to-back in March Madness? I just saw the stat
Florida,
recently.
2004, 2005, Florida.
But did UConn do it in the late 90s as well?
UConn did do it in the late 90s. Okay. UConn is a powerhouse
of
college basketball because they won two championships in the early 2010s as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems to kind of be like a 10-year thing with them where it's
every
like
10 years.
We're just going to build a great program and just dominate college basketball.
What do you guys think about Bill Self saying that he's already been thinking about his next year team for 2 months or whatever as soon as Kansas lost? I saw a lot of comments about that makes people think that people are going to want to transfer and no loyalty. I think people were reading into it a bit too far. But what do you think about coaches who lose and say something like that knowing they'll be back?
It's going back to the Hunter Dickinson thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where everyone's kind of talking about how Kansas doesn't really put a lot of money towards their other athletics teams, but they basically bought Hunter Dickinson this past year. And that seems like it's going to be the case. There's going to be some phenomenal transfer that comes through the transfer portal. And, yeah, I just think that teams like Kansas, and they're just looking at who's going to be the best player out there, and they're going to try and scoop him up once again because Dickinson obviously won't be back, and he was one of the stars of their team this year.
Now, one thing I want to complain about before this segment wraps up, I don't know that I've heard anyone else talking about it. But if you take a close look at your bracket, the championship, and I'm pretty sure the Final Four as well, is not on CBS. It is on TBS, which is not network TV. It's
strange.
Cable TV.
Yeah.
And you know what's even weirder is they waited until the year where everyone has cut cable and gotten rid of that and switched to streaming, which they forced a lot of people that didn't know better to buy Paramount Plus in order to watch NFL games that are typically just available over the air.
And now they switched to the
biggest NFL game too. And then they're like, well, we'll have the national championship on TBS, which, you know, no one knows about, and everyone just looks up what channel is TBS once a year. It's like, it just makes no sense that now is the year that they want to do that.
Is it just like 4:30 in Practical Jokers, 5 o'clock in Practical Jokers, 6 o'clock National Championship,
yeah,
and then, you know, 8 o'clock in Practical Jokers?
Yeah.
It's like, what else is on TBS? Like, it's like TNT and that entire family of channels. Like, I know they play a lot of March Madness games, but so you can't get it at all on Paramount Plus or CBS or anything like
well,
that?
Well, I mean, you might be able to get it on Paramount Plus, but like, you can, I don't know, if you have DirecTV or whatever, you can still get access to it. It's just a lot of people cut the cord, and now they're going to make it that the national championship. I just think it's silly, but
it's interesting.
Brayden, how high are you on Illinois tonight?
Are
you worried?
Love Illinois. I was low on Iowa State, but I also had them I think I either had them losing in the previous round or losing in this round. I can't watch this team lose again. They made it to the second weekend, which is a big deal. And I think kind of proved a lot of doubters wrong, but I think there's still so much more to go, and I've never been in this situation before from this Illinois team just always being like an NIT team when I was little and watching them all the time up until, you know, recently they've had all sorts of talent and never been able to get as far in the tournament as anyone hoped. I think it's a really, really big event tonight for Illinois.
Well, I know a lot of people, especially around this campus, even though we're the Redbirds, a lot of people are fans of Illinois. I'm completely fading you guys tonight. Iowa State was my championship pick. I'm riding with the Cyclones. I'm excited because
they're a defensive team, right?
Yeah.
They're like a really good defensive team. Illinois State or Illinois, a very good offensive team.
The key to
conventional knowledge is that defensive teams win those battles, but
yeah, the key to and I know Illinois is not the best on defense, but if they could stop like Iowa State, they're a very streaky 3-point shooting team. If they can like stop them and make sure that they're not making threes, they'll completely fall on their face. That's the key to really them winning.
U of I and ISU ahead tonight. Don't think too hard about that one. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about some MLB baseball here in the Red Zone. WZND, the host of Redbird Nation. Cubs went 3-up, 3-down to start their season. Brayden is licking his chops over there. So excited. He's just so excited over there. The Cubs didn't score a run in the first inning.
I can't lie. I haven't been excited for this conversation like you two have. I'm not. This can't be all season, but
we're
I'm
not
afraid.
We're not going to roast you off
opening day. Now, if we're talking
no,
about
not
week.
You. I'm talking about this team just being bad. Okay. It can't be all season.
Oh, the Cardinals?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Brayden has his Cardinals jersey on as he sits across from me with my Cubs jersey on, and we'll start there. And also, by the way, since we are reintroducing, Kaylee Sugimoto rejoins the show. Resident Mariners fan, welcome back.
Thank you, Mikey.
We appreciate having you on.
Thank you. Appreciate it. So I'm not a huge MLB fan, but I am a Mariners fan because I am from Washington. So.
That's Kaylee, a great sports fan, a great reporter, but that's the two things we have you on for, gymnastics and Seattle sports.
It's just Mariners and Seahawks. I know a lot more about one than the other.
We've talked about the Seahawks probably second most to the Bears on this show in the last 2 years. But let's start with the Cardinals. Speaking of birds, let's start with the Cardinals. They lost to the Dodgers today, who many believe are going to be the eventual World Series champions. What is it with the Cardinals, as you were laughing in the newsroom today about who your day two starter is going to be? Is pitching still just like the biggest fallout of this team?
That's the start. I think pitching was the biggest focus in the offseason because they know that it was the biggest problem a season ago. But now you get into a problem where your vets are very old and you don't have anyone that's really a good leader. You have some star players, and not everyone has to be a leader, but someone's got to be a leader. and all of your stars are old and or boring, but a lot of them both, and then a bunch of young players that still just aren't there yet, and that's your offense that you have to back up a rotation that's always going to put you down in a hole early. It's just – it's not a great look to start. It's a brutal start to the season playing the assumed World Series champion, and so you kind of expected that as well, but it's just – you know, Sonny Gray was about the best signing we had, and he's not ready to start the year, and just kind of a really not great start to the year, losing 7-1 to the Dodgers earlier today.
And we look at the White Sox before we finish with the Cubs and maybe the Mariners. We'll sneak the Mariners in there too. We go to the White Sox, who lost 1-0 to the Tigers today. I think we can all talk from an anti-White Sox perspective, or not an anti-White Sox perspective.
We're
but
resident
just, yeah,
Southsider.
None of us. Okay, you are a resident Southsider. You're a huge Cubs fan, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm from Central Illinois. There are no White Sox fans.
Yeah,
where I'm
it doesn't
from,
exist.
So,
just
yeah.
The Cardinals and Cubs, basically, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the White Sox do exist, though. They yes. lost to the Tigers today 1-0 because their starting day one pitcher was Garrett Crochet.
Yep,
is that how you pronounce it?
Correct.
Yep, not Crockett. Garrett Crochet, and he. As Justin Steele gets his second strikeout to start the game, and as many outs, by the way. But Garrett Crochet also had a really solid outing, Ben.
Yeah, I was actually very impressed. I was making fun of my White Sox friend or roommates and saying, how are you guys starting Garrett Crochet opening day? He hasn't gone more than 4 innings since 2019 against Florida when he was at Tennessee. That's a crazy stat, isn't it? But today he went 6 and struck out a good amount of batters, so... I know he's dealt with some injuries, so you know there's not many positives to look at for the White Sox this season, but that start from Garrett Crochet, I think it had a lot of Sox fans feeling positive about at least his development and where he's going. But yeah, that team in general, it's just not good. They traded their ace away for a handful of prospects, but that's a farm system that needs to be fixed, and really the only shining star on that team is Luis Robert. So I think... I'm not afraid to say it because I think White Sox fans would agree with me. They're definitely a bottom four team in the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I was telling Braden earlier, I was laughing at because I had a bunch of friends that were at the Sox home opener and everyone just posting videos of like the hype video and everything. And it's just depression season has begun. And, you know, this season's going to blow and all this. And it was pretty funny because they're really down on their team right now. And I don't blame them because of their real cruddy owner. That is Jerry Reinsdorf.
Boom. All right, let's talk Cubs.
Oh, hold on. Before we go to Cubs, because I wanted to mention one more thing, but I was afraid that in the inning that I missed because I was trying to find it on YouTube TV before I figured out I couldn't. I've been telling you guys the stat. I wanted to look at the box score to make sure I was correct, and I was. Cardinals, 1 run on 3 hits. All 3 came from Goldschmidt. Everyone else had an 0-for. That is a
0-for-27.
Crazy bad way to
crazy.
Start
Holy
a
cow.
Season.
Yeah.
But that's what I got from this offense. So
offense who pitched
also
for the Dodgers
bad.
Today?
They started with
Glass now. They got
yeah,
to reset. Right.
Yeah, Killian Murphy. Yeah,
Killian Murphy. I made an Oppenheimer joke in this podcast one time, and no one got it. So I can't do it again.
It took yeah. me a minute.
I said theory can only take you so far, and everyone's like looked at me like I was crazy. But so I can't do it again. Well, it's interesting because the Dodgers were already 1-1 to start the year because they had 2 games a week ago, or whatever, and now they come back into the season in the real home or the real opener against the Cardinals. All right, the Cubs have 2 outs in the bottom of the first against the Rangers. I know we're not going to overanalyze the first inning of a game. But the Cubs have to start against the Rangers, and we keep laughing at Braden that they had to start against the Dodgers, but it's just as difficult, I would think, or very similarly difficult for the Cubs to go into Texas in a 3-game set and come out as the victors. We'll have to see what happens in this series. The Cubs are going to have – who are they going to run out for pitching? It'll be Steele today.
Steele, Hendricks tomorrow, Wicks on – or excuse me, Hendricks on Saturday, which is just so weird, and Wicks on Sunday. I hate how they do that. Like, a bunch of teams have an off day tomorrow, like – what are we doing?
It's the built-in off day in case...
Split it up, yeah.
In case things go wrong. Okay. I already saw the Mets and Brewers are going to play tomorrow. So is that the only game that's going to...
And the Phillies scheduled? And Braves as well. They're going to have a doubleheader.
A doubleheader to start the season. That's crazy. Yeah. We're going to have a doubleheader tomorrow, too, by the way, on WZND. Shameless plug. Yeah. Softball will be on the air from 1 o'clock on. That'll be a good time for them. I believe it'll be a doubleheader. As of right now, that's the announcement. So we'll have to see what happens there because they are trying to get out of the way from impending rain on Sunday. All right, Kaylee Sugimoto, we're going all the way around the bases. Let's go to the Mariners. I know you said your sister is more of a Mariners fan than than you are with the Julio Rodriguez cutout. But what is the vibe over in Washington of a young, exciting team?
I've never been to a Mariners game personally, but I have been around like the T-Mobile Arena and the T-Mobile Park because I was in the arena for the Seahawks. But I think like the setup is really cool, and I've seen part of a game, and this is gonna sound really, really bad, but it was because I was seeing Taylor Swift.
And, I remember hearing about
this. Yes, and while in the arena, there's like a little lookout, like a balcony, and you could actually watch the baseball game while you were waiting in line, which was really cool. And so I was able to catch a little bit of that.
That's cool.
Marshawn Lynch was on the field. but yeah, I don't know. The energy in there is really cool, and the whole atmosphere of being right next to the Puget Sound also just really... It's a really energetic and young atmosphere, really young crowd, but also really relaxed at the same time. And that's the best way I could put it.
What was the story of the Taylor Swift thing? I saw that on TikTok at the time. Like, everyone was trying to leave the Mariners game at the same time all the Aerostar people were coming in.
Yes, it was honestly not fun. It was chaos because it was everyone kind of like in their like... They were all dressed up and everything to go see Taylor Swift. And then you just see a bunch of disgruntled baseball fans because they lost.
It was a big game towards the end of the season, if I'm not wrong.
Yes,
yeah.
It was. So it was just kind of like an awkward vibe going, walking into the concert seeing everyone leave.
Was the Taylor Swift concert at Seahawks Stadium or was it right after the Mariners game?
It was right after the Mariners game in the Seahawks Stadium, but connected.
Okay. Yeah, which is the coolest part. I just didn't know if they were like... The Mariners game ended, and they were just going to make the flip immediately.
Honestly,
like,
I saw these videos of people walking up and down like the stairs, and it was like on the left side coming down was like all the disgruntled baseball fans, and on the right side was a lot of young women, but of course, you know, men and women wearing like feathers and like crazy sparkly outfits and stuff. And it was like literally the duality of man, like going into the Seattle game. You were part of that. You could say you were part of that.
Yeah, I guess so. I will say the public transport that day was crazy. like the vibe of the two types of people just taking public transport to see a game or a concert. I've been meaning to go see a Mariners game really badly. I haven't even seen the Seahawks play live. Just two things that I've been meaning to do.
You've been living
out here
for a long time though now.
I have, yeah. 4 years now.
All right, we'll finish with this. How was it for you to interview your former teammates and have them come on the show like that?
Honestly, really cool because, I mean, the fact that at the beginning of like, I guess when I came to ISU, the fact that that was me at one point and now I'm here is a really strange shift. And I think it's really interesting to see where I could have been if I stayed. I'm not saying I was that good by any means. Like I said, if I was recruited now, I would not make it on the Illinois State Gymnastics team. But I just think that seeing how much the team has grown and kind of taking an outside perspective on that has been just so neat as my time here as transitioning into sports journalism.
We talked before you came back on about like some of the cool stuff we've done this year for gymnastics specifically. We got to talk to Lori when she came on, and we've done a couple different stories for you for gymnastics. We gotta keep that going, but for Red Zone next year, Ben, because it's been good to highlight some of the smaller sports that don't always get the action, and of course to get the gymnasts on themselves now. Braden, you talked a lot about what this next step is for them. I don't know if you want to plug that real quick before the show is over.
For which team?
We've been
talking about a lot of teams all at once.
They'll
be in Michigan this next week. And if either of the two gymnasts that we just talked to are the best of all gymnasts that are not on a team that makes it to regional, then they get to represent at Fort Worth, which is the NCAA championships.
Nice.
And they've had a Redbird there multiple times before, so it wouldn't be the first time, but that's the situation for them both. And as Ben starts doing circles with his arm, he is waving them home, and he's upset. I believe
no,
it's because
excited.
Someone's out. No,
no,
he's excited.
Morrell got a diving triple.
Sorry to cut you off.
Morrell hit it off the wall, and he hit my knee because he thought it was going to be gone. But yeah, Morrell got a nice triple. Look at that. All right, well, real quick, as we wrap up, I know we went from baseball to gymnastics, so I want to hear from Kaylee, and then let's do baseball again real quick for the last 20 seconds. give me your World Series pick real quick.
Dodgers over Yankees.
Cubs.
Mariners.
White Sox.
Athletics.
That's just for me. All right. Thank you for listening. Have a great Easter. We'll be right back.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson Living now drives inside, going to find Mary Clapton for her first three of the day, and it's good.
Curry owned the league last year, and sure. Personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
I agree, I've got five.